Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing this morning.
Hey-o, everybody. It's Johnny B. How's it going, Captain Mick?
Oh, it's going good, man. During the break, I thought about that trip Plog and I were talking about. We had the double boater with Alan Meeks and all his buddies, Tim Truitt and them. That was on December the 23rd. That was the day before Christmas Eve. Because I remember Christmas Eve, I went back over there and fished on those fish and only caught three. We caught them when they were eating big time, eating mullet. So that just goes to show you, you can have a lot of fish for not biting. You can't catch them. You can try. All right. Well, let's get rolling. Let's go down Baffin Bay way, Corpus Christi area, and let's talk to our good friend Captain Cliff Webb, see what's up with him this morning. Hey, Cliff.
What's going on, Mickey?
How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. You're making me sick talking about them big trout. I think of those days of big trout eating mullet and that sound they make. It's just unbelievable. I just remember that. You just don't hear that much anymore with those big school of trout.
Makes a big old hole in the water about the size of a number two wash tub when them big boys come up and eat a mullet like that head first. God, it's good stuff.
Yeah, Doug Pike and I are standing there, you know, when Doug and I caught all those big fish, and man, they would just smack them like that, and they leave a little slick on top of the water where they just spanked it, and, you know, and just puked up a little stuff in their stomach because they just ate another big mullet. And the thing that you and Plog were talking about that was really cool was how those tails of those mullet would stick out of their mouth on those big trout, and you're still catching them on corkies and broken back, and they got a big old hog or a big old two-pounder in their throat, and they're such a pig, they want to eat another one, you know? God.
When they're amped up like that and dialed in on a heavy feed like that, I mean, it's just when's enough. They just can't get enough.
And, hey, in the smell. Think of this. When you pull those big trout up and they shake their head and throw that juice out, and you're surrounded by that slick and you got that dead mullet smell. Bubba, there ain't nothing better, man.
No, that's, you know, that's I call that Chanel mullet. Number 5, baby. That's Bay Chanel. God,
man. Mm. Well, you got me all excited talking about the big trout. We had a good week here, man. I got a big fish this year, sight casting. Yeah, I had two fish over 6 pounds this week, and it's not great, but you know, right now, 2 over 6 in a week is good for me. I'm not catching the monsters, but I haven't had, you know, a lot of trips. But a really cool trip was early in the week. The wind was dead calm, and these fish this time of year really stages on the points, especially the points that have currents in the bay. And then when the current stops, they slack up. These fish get up on top of these rocks, and that's what they're doing now. They're staging on top of these rocks. And I was out in the middle of the bay on deep rocks, making, you know, I pull up these rocks. And you got to do this after 10 o'clock, we can see. And this is about 10, 11 o'clock. I'm looking, and there's schools of red, drum, and trout laying on top of these rocks. And the only thing I'd get them to hit was that opening night paddle tail, which is so clear. And you would roll that thing in front of 20, and if you got two of them to hit, you'd be lucky. They just watch it go by, you know, and big trout. And I think the biggest was about 6.5 we caught. We saw some bigger ones. But, man, they're just laying up there just swimming on top of the water. And, it'll just make you crazy, Mickey. I mean, I did that for 3 hours. You know. And right when we get into a big fish, you let the lead head go down a little bit before you hang the rock. And when you set the hook, the line will kind of twang a little bit, and they spook the fish off the rock. They just scatter off the rock, you know. But it was a cool morning. We didn't catch near as many as we saw, but it was really good.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, fish that are off feed like that, they're just laying up sulking, you know, or resting, sleeping, whatever they do. Well, they get in that kind of dormant state. Yeah. But, boy, they spook so easily. Now, fish that are feeding, you can almost drive the boat over them, and it's not going to deter them.
Yeah. And if I got too close to the rock and the blade of the trolling motor hit the rock a little bit, they'd spook for 20 yards around me. I could see them blow out of those rocks. But it's funny because you can really watch the bait fish, the mullet. And when those mullet would get real tight right in the center of the rock like that, start swimming around in circles real fast, you know they get ready. You know somebody swimming around that rock, and you get up there and catch them. But you could just tell by looking at the mullet, they were just daisy chaining. They weren't really being pushed too much. So you could just tell the fish weren't really feeding. And we were really having to – we'd throw at a fish two or three times before he hit it. And I mean, roll it right past the strike zone, right in that quarter. You know what I'm talking about, right on the corner of the eye. You know, when they're facing the way, just roll it right, you know, just like perfect shot at them. We're, you know, we get within probably 20 yards of them. But God, I never had so much rejection. It's kind of like being home sometimes.
Yeah.
And, wrong, man.
And if it does, tell your wife I'm off on Fridays.
That's it, Bob.
Oh, that's classic.
It was all good, man. Yeah, it was good. But, yeah, and I caught a really good surf this good fish in the surf this week on Wednesday. I caught a 27-inch trout in the surf, weighed 6.5 pounds in the surf, man. That's a big surf trout for me.
Yeah, it is. Really
cool. I only caught two that day, one about 20 inches and one that was just almost 27, but she was a pig, man. Big old, I'll send you a picture, a real pretty one, on a super spook baby trout, in a baby trout pattern.
I love that bait. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Tiny
so
trout.
It was, I think it was like the first or second cast that morning. I threw it out there, it hit the water and hit it twice, and she just smoked it. And then I sit there fish for another 45 minutes and I never caught another one. That's kind of the way it is sometimes. But, it's all good. Our water's good, and I think this next front, you know, what's weird, Mickey, is we're not getting the flounder run everybody else is. We're getting flounder, but we're not getting the numbers of flounder yet. I still think they're up in the marshes and up in the sloughs because we still got all this high water. It's
got
to be.
I'm hearing that from everybody, really. You know, that we've got such a great funnel point, you know, our Galveston Channel that all the bays feed down into before they exit through, you know, to the jetties like they say they do for the spawn in the winter. But, I don't even think the best is yet to come, I think.
And I'm hoping it's going to happen here, but I thought this last front we get a little more run than we did. Had a great trout bite, and the redfish, the bull reds are still here, you know, still catching plenty of bull reds. And I think this next front, if we don't get the flounder by this coming week, I'm worried. I think this week, if we don't see a big flounder run, I'm worried about where they
are. Well, this week, and then you've got the front coming in Monday, and we're talking some really cold temperatures next week. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
That don't do it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I quail hunted this week. It was a great week. I said this week will probably the last week where I went surfing for the last time without a wetsuit. The water's warm, so I got to surf, and I had a great quail hunt, and then a good fish trip. I said the surfing's probably going to be out from now on. I think it's.
Hey, life is good, isn't it?
It was good. I surfed with 75 degrees in the water. I said, that's about the last time I'll get in. Once it gets below 70, I'm done.
Well, I went down to Blaine's, and I'm telling you, you guys are overrun with quail this year. It's just everything came together.
It's amazing, man.
Good Lord, how many quail are running around, man.
And I think they won this last time. I got cut up more than they did. I got cuts all over me. But, you know, the thing about our brush down here, it's just, if it doesn't sting, stick, or bite, it's not here. You know, I mean, everything in that brush is cat claw, mesquite, you know, cactus. And I'm not using a dog. It's just too tough for the dogs where I'm at. So I am the dog, buddy. So I bust through that brush, and I just kind of.
I hate that cat claw is what I hate. It's like that cat claw just reaches out and grabs you.
It tore the back of my shirt. I'm tucking. I hear, you know how you hear the bird fluttering when he's in the brush? He's fluttering. You want to get through. Once he stops fluttering, you can't find him because the camo is so good. They stop fluttering dead. Without a dog, they're hard to find. I mean, because they blend into the ground. So I'm trying to get this fluttering bird. I'm going through the cat call, and I just run right into that stuff. I just stick to it. You know, it was just like flypaper. I was just done, you know. But I did get the bird, but, boy, I paid for it, let me tell you.
Well, I better chew him slow.
Hey, man, I'm soaking them right now in a peach jelly. I'm going to grill them with peach jelly on them. That's the best way to do it, man.
Oh, man. And then you're going to grill them?
Oh, yeah. You soak them for a couple of days in peach jelly and leave that jelly on them. Then grill them with the jelly on and kind of like a glazed ham. It puts a little glaze on them. Man, that's the best quail you'll ever eat.
Oh, I might try some of that out, man. You've already given me enthusiasm there. That's, hey, hang on. Let me do a quick commercial break.
Right,
I'll come back to you, man.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 618 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Cliff Webb and talk some more with this fella. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, man. All these Belleville Meat Company commercials are killing me, man. Golly, I can't wait to get. I've had every kind of sausage, but old Tim, the guy from Texas Roofing, brought me some of that Belleville meat sausage a couple years ago. God Almighty, that's good, Mickey.
Isn't it incredible?
Yeah, I got a son. My son Cody, he lives in Houston now, so that'll be a good excuse to go see him. Is to get a big cooler of meat and go to Belleville, drop that off, and go see
yes,
my son.
Yes, sir.
I'm definitely
going
to get it done because there's nothing else like it, man. It's really good. It's really good.
No, it's a blending process. They've been doing it for years, and they've got it down to an art. And you know what I like about it? It's consistent. I can expect exactly the same every year. This will be my 12th season with them, and unfortunately, I didn't come back with anything from Blaine's. Well, you don't want to shoot too early, but, I mean, I had my opportunity, but I couldn't get a clean shot at this
deer. Yeah, I heard
deer.
Your 8-point out there wouldn't give you a shot.
I
hate that.
And
man.
I promised my wife that'll be the last deer I mount and hang on the wall in our house. That, you know, I want a big 8. I don't have a, you know, what I call a big 8 is something over 140, that kind of class of 8-point deer. And so... But he's still there. Blaine saw him yesterday. He went back to that blind to do some work and corned it up, and he was first one out. And he said it was just – he said it's just bad timing on our part. But, hey, that's deer hunting. That's the way it works.
No, I had a – we were chasing a big A with Jackie Bushman, the guy that did the TV show back on the Kenny. I did a TV show with him. And, man, I found this at least a 155, 168, just a monster, 25 inches inside.
Goodness.
Biggest 8-pointer on that 240,000 acres. It was a monster. And the week before he came, Mickey, that deer just disappeared like a ghost. It was amazing. He killed a nice deer, but he didn't kill that deer. But a week later, one of the foremen of the ranch shot that deer. he said, I couldn't resist. Shot it with a 30-30 open sight. I said, God almighty, but that was a great deer. I think it scored 158. That's a monster 8 right there.
That is a beast.
You just don't see that very often.
You know, doesn't George Strait have one of the biggest Boone and Crockett 8s, a top 10 or something in a 170 class?
Only other one I saw was a 160, a picture of, and that was a monster that was killed off the ranch I'm hunting on now. And that was like 20 years ago. But, yeah, I think that's one of the biggest ones I've ever seen. But the mainframe 8, a big one is something, is really a cool rack.
Yes, it is. It really is.
Was your horns good there at Blaine's? Did you see the horns?
Oh, yes. Oh, man, I couldn't believe all the beautiful horns on all the 2- and 3-year-old deer. I mean, there was little young 10-pointers and stuff that they're already in the 130s, man. They're looking so good.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
And his mature deer, they're all over 200 pounds. I mean, everybody that killed a deer while I was there was 3 deer killed. There was an 11. There was a 10 that went a little over 150 inches. And then Ronnie killed his big 8, and all those deer were over 200 pounds. They were like 220. They were huge.
Man, golly.
They're healthy this year. Jeez.
That's real good. We had a great crop of young deer last year, and we have some really good hunters on my place that didn't shoot them. So I'm waiting to see what they did this year. I turned down one last year that was an absolutely gorgeous 10-point, but the deer was 3.5 years old. And once, you know, I don't know how, I can't say what he scored because I didn't get it really good. I had my granddaughter in blind with me, and she's eating gummy bears. And she goes, Grandpa, look at that big bug. And, of course, the deer was gone. But anyway, it's great.
Break out the Cheetos and start rattling a bag and everything.
That's when everything comes out, when she's in
the only thing that's going to come to that is a dog.
Oh, man. It's funny you say that because I had one of my lads was sitting my blind with me. I had a ground blind, and she'd get down below my feet. And then every once in a while, she'd raise up on her back feet and look out the window, you know, kind of raise up and look at them, see the deer and growl a little bit. She lay back down. But the bad thing, as soon as I picked up my rifle, and she's used to duck hunting with me, when she heard the safety click, She knew I was getting ready to shoot. She was whined. And, you know, it was okay in the duck blind. You know, when I never, when my gun goes to shoulder, you hear my safety, because my safety never goes off till the gun's on the shoulder.
Right.
And I'd raise that shotgun up, and I click that safety. She'd go, woo! And so the deer, I see that big old buck, and I put that gun out the window. Everything's good. I clicked that safety. She had a big old howl, and that deer took off, man. She looked at me like, I know I did it, man. I'm sorry, man. It was good stuff. Anyway.
Hey, you know, we give our labs dirty looks, and they can turn around and do the same to us. They give us dirty looks. I love Labradors. Yeah, they're awesome
they
dogs.
They get all on their face, man. You can just tell them, man. She knew she screwed up, man. But I got the deer a week later, but, you know, she was in the blind when I got it, too. But what I did, I pick up my gun several times to take the safety off and let her get used to it.
Yeah.
Several times that in the morning. Finally, she wouldn't react when I did it, and I finally got that deer. But anyway, that was great.
Awesome. No, but animals are in good shape, and I guess y'all got a pretty good amount of rain out of this last front. I know Blaine, he finally got him some much-needed rain down there. It was really dry, man. It was powder dry.
Oh, man.
All the roads.
Senderis were
just four-wheel drive only, man. Just the sand was so thick in a lot of areas.
But we didn't get very much on the island, so I'm driving back from my ranch up by Alice, and my windshield wipers break on my truck coming
back.
And so I drove all the way back in 4 inches of rain with no windshield wipers. And so I drove back night before last. I get back to the house, and I'm thinking, man, it's really going to dump at my house. I think I maybe got a half an inch, and it rained 4 inches at the ranch. So it kind of it's like a dry zone here on the island that kind of keeps some of that stuff out sometimes.
Yeah, there were several.
I was thinking a lot more rain than we do. You guys get a lot more rain than we do, Mickey. You really do.
We do, and then even east of us, you know, over towards Port Arthur and Beaumont area, they get more than we do. So it's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, send some down. We need it, man. We definitely need it. But our water's in really good shape in Bath, and we got all clear water, no brown tide this year. And when the water goes down back to normal, I think a lot of these fish are still back in the sloughs. And, you know, it's that time of year where once the water will stay in the 50s, man, we get a really good bigger bite on the corkies. Right now we're catching 23 to 25 inches on corkies. And I think this next front, maybe somebody will stick a big one. But the last front, you know, there's a lot of 23 to 26-inch fish, but that topping doesn't seem to really show up here until late December. It's just funny how that works. I look at all my records, and all the double-digit fish are usually after Christmas.
Yep.
That works.
I'm into that.
And I'm ready for one.
I love this time of year.
I do too, man. Dude, I definitely do. I'm ready for a corky bite. I'm telling you, Jay's got all them custom corkies and maradines and soft dimes. I just can't wait. He's got some new colors out. I hope he lets them in the market this year. I heard he had some real neat colors coming out.
Oh, speaking of baits and everything, have you got a new boss reel from Mike yet?
No. What? Tell me about it.
Oh, man.
You like it?
I don't know whether I ought to say this or not. Hey,
you like it better than the TX?
Oh, yeah. The TXZ. He sent me one of those new boss reels that 13 makes, and it was actually created for freshwater fishing because of the they put a brass drive gear in there to make it where you really crank down on it, and I think it's really going to work good when we get in these, you know, schools of big reds, and you don't put so much pressure on the aluminum gears like the other ones have.
Right.
And
right.
Boy. It
cast
and it's so smooth and cast so good. Next time you talk to him, see if he can muster one up for you, because they are incredible.
You know, I went back up. They've got one, like the titanium, the gray one. This is titanium. It's a kind of a freshwater reel. I've been throwing that too, and it just casts like a dream. You know, you can put a fat boy on those reels. You can cast them 70 yards easy.
What is that? The E you're talking about?
Yeah, the E, I use that one a lot, too. Man,
yeah, that
one. It really is.
Gray one, that thing is awesome.
Yeah.
I think out of all their reels, probably the warrior of the group as far as tried and true, and you can't tear them up and get them to malfunction, is the C, the white one. That's been a good one from the very start. Then I like the TXZ and the E that you're talking about, and now this boss. That's they've got so many good reels, but out of those four right there are my favorite so far. They just do the job so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to save a nine. I got one of those gray ones all cleaned up. I sent it back to the factory. And not even going to throw it till February. I'll make myself save it so I have a nice blue one for February.
That way you know make how it is? You want something really 70-yard cast really with a corky. Yeah.
But you know how it is? You know, if you don't have a smooth reel, sometime in the winter, especially on plastics, it's a real subtle bump or a weight change. You got to, if your reel's grinding a little bit, you can't feel that bite because you think it's your reel, and you'll miss those fish. It has to be perfectly smooth to feel that bite sometime in the winter. Do you agree? I mean, a little bit.
100%. You know, and when we used to do seminars and everything, we try to explain that to people. They thought we were full of it. With the equipment we have now and, you know, the sensitivity with the line, the rods, and the reels that we have that are so smooth, you can actually feel a fish following your lure. He'll start pushing a wake behind it, and you'll feel that little bit of displacement of your bait. And people think, you know, you can't feel that. The heck you can't. Oh, yeah. And it's incredible. And like you were saying, with a real weird bite and a soft bite, if your reel is a little bit rough and, you know, you're not gonna notice those kind of things.
Any kind of a bind or grind, you'll miss it. And, you know, you're sitting there in 35-degree, you know, air temperature. You've been fishing all day, and you haven't had a bite in 3 hours. Then all of a sudden, you get that little subtle bump. It's 11-pounder, and you miss it. I mean, you just can't, you know. And that, you know, perfect example, Jay and I fished that one day. I think air temperature was 32, water temperature was 47, and we had three bites. One was over 11 pounds, you know. And this, we sat there for hours, and the bite was just so subtle. It felt like a little piece of moss on your soft plastic, and it was a big fish. It picked it up, and it's so important, especially when it's cold, to be able to feel that. And you cannot have any kind of a roughness in those reels. And those 13s are very smooth, and you got to keep them that way. You got to another thing on the paws, Nick. I told you about. I'm wiping those paws off with alcohol, and it makes them really smooth. You can't over oil them; they'll bind a little bit.
They will. It'll build up pressure in there and cause it to bind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, especially on the E, you've got to clean it. I just use a cotton swab with rubbing alcohol and wipe
it
down.
That's what I do too.
Mm-hmm. And it'll prevent that. They're machined so close and so finite, you know, it's there's no room for any extra oil or any kind of grit or dirt, so you got to keep it super clean.
And if you do over oil it, take your hair dryer, put it on high and heat your reel up real hot. And then wipe it off the paper towel. That oil will leak out and make a real thin layer, and it'll come back for you. The over oil.
Well, I just so learned something there. The old hair dryer trick. I've never even thought of that.
Hair dryer works good on it, man.
Wow. Cliff, we have a plethora of knowledge.
I don't know about that. I only know the stupid stuff, you know.
Well, we know how to screw stuff up. I know that. We've done that over the years.
The only way I learned something by screwing stuff up, I think, oh, well, I've done that three times. Maybe I shouldn't do that again. You know?
I used to use Blaine as a barometer. I said, hey, if he's been using that for a month, go buy it because it'll last you a lifetime. You know, we used to call him the animal. He could tear up an anvil. I mean, seriously, he's the equipment using master right there, buddy. If it holds up for him, go buy all of them they got.
I had a guy like that, Mr. Rayburn, was like that, Charlie. And one day he had a 55-spin bass, it wouldn't cast, and I opened up, he packed it full of Vaseline.
Oh, my goodness.
He said that way the salt wouldn't get in there, and I think it was gummed up with Vaseline. I just throw that one in the bag. I used one of mine.
Yeah, no joke. All right, Cliff, I got to roll, buddy. Always a pleasure talking to you, man. Good, interesting stuff, and I hope you have a good week. If somebody wants to come down and fish with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you, bud?
I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Thanks, Mick.
Cliff, keep it real, my friend. Keep it real.
Hi, brother.
All right, see you, buddy. Take care. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in the Corpus area.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish. outdoor show.
And, we took off, and I look over, and James had one eye in his sunglasses. One of the lenses blew out because he looked behind him. He was wondering where the water was coming from. Well, that stringer of trout he had on the side of the boat, they're flying up in the air 10 feet up in the air at 50 miles an hour. There wasn't a scale left on those trout.
They scaled those fish right there.
Shoot, that there's funny. I don't care who you are.
And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow. If you want to hunt fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 6:38 right here in the Bayou City. Now we're going to go up to the Big Sam and talk to our good friend, Mr. Will Kirkpatrick, see what's up with him this morning. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
How are you,
well,
sir?
Well, Big Sam is staying big until they get the impellers fixed on that. The turbines over there on the dam, they're not going to be drawing that much water out of it, so we're going to stay big.
Right.
But eventually, supposedly next month sometime, I haven't talked to them, but supposedly next month sometime, they're supposed to be done with that. You know, I've heard stories ever since I faced Rayburn about they're working on the dam, but actually they are working on, not the dam, but the turbines at the dam.
So, right.
This cold front we got coming in is, the shad has started to move in. They start in when the water temperature drops down below 80. And they started moving in, and this thing we got coming in either Tuesday night or Wednesday, it's what they're talking about up here is going to be in the mid-20s.
Goodness.
And it will start moving. Ought to get some deer moving, too.
Yep.
They finally heard three shots yesterday, and that's the first shooting that we've heard up here. And usually, opening day, you'll hear a half dozen. But the acorns on these oak trees, you can't stand out there. I was out on my drives last night, and there was about three oak trees. The acorns hit me when they were falling off the live oak tree. So,
man,
all a deer's got to do is find him a big oak tree and lay down there and open his mouth, and he's in business.
Yeah, and wait for the right doe to come by. He's got a tough life right now, doesn't he?
Yep. We talked about what they call a pleat lure, one that it's a poplar with a little lip on it.
Yeah.
Well, they finally come out. I said that what we really need is the next size bigger, and they've came out with a 3/8 ounce size. So what they do is they start out with the lure and a 1/4 ounce or 3/8 ounce, and if that sells, then they'll come up with the next size. So obviously that will sell them because they've come up with the bigger size. And that's going to work more for you guys down there on the coast, too, because that would be a little easier to throw. It's hard to throw that small one that's 5/16 ounce. It's hard to throw that if you got any kind of wind.
Right.
But this one's going to work. And I can't, speckled trout don't usually miss lures, but if they do, this plug's not going to jump 2 foot away. It's going to be sitting right there in front of them again. It's not new. It's just different.
And which one is it? It's the Pop-R?
Yeah, well, it's that little, Rebel Pop-R body.
Right.
But what they did was put a little bitty lip on it. And, usually if you set the hook and you miss, because it's not unusual for a bass not to get it the first time they come at it. And
right.
If they miss it, instead of that thing ending up 2 or 3 foot away, all it does is just dive, and it'll move maybe 6 or 8 inches. And now when they miss it the first time, it's going to still be sitting right there in front of them. And if they do miss it, you keep on cranking. What it does, it dives down about a foot or a foot and a half, and it's got a big, wide swimming action. So this one's going to work.
Well, I can't wait to use one of those. Try that out.
I happen to have some orders.
Yeah, I know a guy.
Yeah. And when I found out that they were making that, I went ahead and put an order in. And
hopefully we catch some big old largemouth on them in March this year.
We'll see. You know, if you can, they don't hit topwaters that well, but if you can draw their attention, then they see that big, wide, because it is, it's big, wide swimming.
Right.
It's kind of like the old, they used to make bayou boogies and this kind of lure, and it's kind of like them. It's got a big, wide swimming action, and that's what you need in the spring anyway. And if they don't get enough water out of here and that grass is still within 2 or 3 foot of the surface come spring, or if the water comes in and it gets up back in them brushes, you're going to be able to do the same thing. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
We will find out.
We'll figure out
something. One way or other, Mr. Eastman, we will find out.
We will develop a pattern pretty quick-like.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of excited.
Start to move,
you know,
back in. This is when your electronics is going to really pay off, because you can see those big balls of shad sitting out there anywhere from 10 to 15, 20 foot of water. And they're going to keep moving back in. Water gets down in the 60s now. They'll go all the way to back of the creeks.
Yeah.
And with all the water we've got, with Rayburn still being, you know, about only 3 foot below pool, they got a lot of creek to go back to.
Well, yeah, and you got a lot of water, and they can get in those upper reaches. When that bait moves back, guess what comes with them?
Yep, yeah, there, Mr. and Mrs. Bass will be there.
Yes, sir.
Well, but we got lots of grass left, you know, and it's not going to start dying off until, in fact, it'll get a second wind right now. You know, it starts dying off when the water gets up in the upper 80s, and then once the cool spells hit, it kind of gives it a second life. It's like us. You know, I can fish way better when it's down in the 60s and 70s than I can when it's up in the 90s.
You and me both. I agree with that.
My fishing don't improve when it gets up in the 90s. It hits 100. My fishing's about done. I'm going to the house.
You know, basically, all the fishing you've done over the years everything, Will, when, you know, I know you got several rod and reels, but, you know, you're kind of like me. You got your go-tos for, you know, like, you use a worm a lot. You do a lot of worm fishing, spinner baiting and cranking and stuff like that. As far as the length of a rod, what's your favorite or your kind of go-to that you like to fish with the best as far as the action and the length of a rod?
This time of year on Big Lake, 7 foot.
Seven, okay.
Because you can, number one, you can throw it farther. You know,
sure.
It loads better, and you can throw it farther, and you can pick up more line. That's why, especially on the soft plastics. If you got a 6 foot rod versus a 7 foot rod, you'll pick up probably 3 foot of line better with the 7 foot you do a 6 foot.
Right, when you lift that rod tip up. You know, and people,
right.
You remember back in the day when we were using, you know, bass fishing, we were using like pistol grips, and some of those were like 5.5 feet long, you know.
Right.
No telling.
Well, they had back then, you didn't make long casts. That's when you had, you know, the jungle on Livingston, and then you you got up here on Rayburn, and you had, you know, they were just like the jungle on Livingston, but we had 5 big patches of timber. And if you went back in there, you couldn't fish a big long rod.
No.
When Rayburn got up to highest it's ever been, it got up, it was 170. It's normally 164.4. I think it was 174 because it was 10 foot. And I had one small one, but I made another 4.5 foot rod because all you could do was roll cast. You could not cast overhand because we're fishing back up in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
And we had, I had two guys, and there's a road, an old logging road that goes up through, you get up to, up the AH Bayou, and it starts in there probably the third cove up, and you can go from there clear on back to Cotchatama Creek. And if you tried, we saw spinnerbaits, we saw crankbaits, we saw worms wrapped up in them pine trees because all you had was trees on both sides. That road is open now because the pines have all rotted, but back then it was still solid trees.
Well, I saw it high the last time I fished, but nothing like that.
It doesn't take that roll cast. All you do, you can visualize it, or we're talking about it, is instead of casting overhand, you just hold that rod with a pistol grip and just roll from your elbow down, roll your wrist. And it doesn't take very long until you can put that thing out there pretty accurate, about 30 to 35 feet. That's as far as you want to cast back then anyway.
Yeah.
Any farther than that, you're going to get back in the trees.
Man.
But you'd hit these little pockets as we'd go up through there. The only thing you had to watch out for was the fire ants. Yeah, that's one advantage you have. You guys in saltwater, most of the boats are white, but down here in the freshwater, a lot of times they'll have, a boat that say it's blue or it's light green. And ants can get up in there and you can't see them, but when it's white, well, you can see. And if you see the little red ants, you've got to hit an ant pile. They school up. They'll get up against one of these trees, and they'll pile up in there. Or if they're moving, if you get real close to them, you can see the ants on the bottom come to the top and one on the top, and it just rolls like a paddle wheel going down the lake.
Yeah, those big old floating ant piles are nasty, man. You never want to wade into those when you're walking in the water. You know, we see that a lot teal hunting when you get those big floods right when teal season had opened. You had to really be careful.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I know we had one guy here at Powell Park that he got ants. He never paid any attention. He had his boat setting up on one of these little temporary docks that people make.
Uh-huh.
And ants got into it, and the only way they got rid of them was they completely flooded his boat.
Goodness.
And the ants come out. That was the only way he got rid of it. And the trouble is the boats don't sink nowadays. You know, they go down to the gunwale, but that's it. But they had to completely fill his boat up with water.
That's crazy.
To get the ants out of it. There's no other way to get them out.
But
the lake's in good shape. Everything's going. You got deer season. You got the bass going. The crappies are going. I talked to Joey Holloway the other day, and he said they're tearing the crappies up. He had
that's what I hear.
On a trip, and they had. He said they were back in by 11 o'clock. They had 5 limits. But that's 5 limits that you got to claim.
That's a lot of cleaning, but boy, that sure is some good table fare. That's good eating.
The Rayburn's got good crappie fishing. You know,
these guys
brush piles out. That's why they catch so many big bass around brush piles, is have bass are sitting in there eating crappies. You know, a 10-pound bass, about a 12-inch crappie is just right for that bass to eat.
Perfect snack for him.
Yeah. But the lake's in good shape, and all they got to do, that wind is going to, the wind yesterday was really blowing, and I imagine with that front coming in Tuesday or Wednesday, we're going to have even more wind than we got now.
Yeah, looking at the forecast this morning, it looks like it's probably going to get to us by Monday afternoon, Monday evening, when the wind will shift to the north.
So it's going to be a little early.
Yeah, so we're going to have two back-to-back fronts right here, and then another little one reinforcing it later in the week. So it's going to stay cool all week long next week.
So if you get out on Rayburn and you look up to the northwest and you see them purple clouds, you really need to get back to the rain.
Go to the dock. Please go to the dock. It's not worth it. All right, Will. Well, hey, it's always a pleasure talking to you. If somebody wants to call you, you got your electronics class and big bass class coming up, you know, February and March. Give them a number out, bud.
409-584-3177.
And I will be there in March. Can't wait for it, man. Looking forward to it.
Me too. That floating worm is going to do something this spring.
We're going to give it a go. You can bet on that. All right,
thanks,
Will.
Ricky.
Hey, thank you, sir. See you, man. Take care. All right, that's all the time we have for today's show. But guess what? We're going to be back bright and early in the morning at 4 a.m. on Open Line Fun Sunday right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.